Welcome to another edition of the Malware Report. I'm here with Stephen Cobb, a security evangelist at ESET. Stephen, welcome.
Good to be here, Brian.
So last week, we talked about small business security, and we ended on the note that a great place to start in a small business is passwords, and to really hone in on that as a great place to add some protection. Stephen, let's start with the basics. What's a good password?
Really, a good password is something that's hard for other people to guess. And that sounds very simple, but really, that's it. The things that make it hard to guess are typically that it's longer, it's complex, and it's not a word that's associated with you or a word that's in the dictionary. And so you need to be creative coming up with passwords and steer clear of things which somebody who's trying to get in there could guess. And this applies to whether they're trying to get in there just sitting at your keyboard after you've gone home at night and they're trying to break in, or if a hacker gets into your system and is trying to crack your system with software. The more complex and obscure the passwords are, the tougher it is to break them. At the same time, though, you want to make them something that you can remember fairly easily.
So, you know, one of the things about passwords that can make them hard to break is that they change at some interval. I mean, how often should people change a password? Is there a general rule?
Well, that does depend on, you know, which system it is you're protecting. There's a couple of things. First of all, you don't want to use the same password on all your systems. That is certainly something to be avoided, because if somebody guesses the password for one system, then they can try it on your others and get in there. And then if you change them up, do that, I would say, quarterly, something like that is a good idea. And you might be wondering, you know, well, I think I did change it recently, but you'd be surprised. I recently was embarrassed to find I hadn't changed my Facebook password in like 18 months. And that's not good, because you do want to change them up every so often. And you can set up things like your office systems so that they force employees to change their password on a regular basis. I wouldn't make it too regular, though. I've been on a system where you had to change it every month, and that was, quite frankly, a bit of a pain. But make sure that you're not using the same password from 5 years ago. One of the embarrassing things there is, 5 years ago, I was using quite short passwords. I've made them a lot more complicated today.
You know, I think, you know, one of the things that a small business can do very simply is go into their calendar and just, you know, January 1st, April 1st, you know, at first of every quarter, just put a little notice in there. It says change passwords. Get the alarm, you'll get the alert, and it'll just be a reminder to do it.
Yeah.
Very easy to do in systems. And you don't have to worry about it. Somebody will remind you. And, you know, one of the things that happens very often in small businesses, and actually in all businesses today, is people come and go. They you know, you hire new people, you fire people, you have people leave. You know, is that just a moment where you absolutely should change a password?
Yes, it's something which often gets overlooked in, shall we say, the heat of the moment, maybe, or the joy of the moment. If somebody's leaving to go on to something better, or they're going on maternity leave, people come and go from the office, and that's a point at which you have to think clearly about their access. If somebody is leaving the company and not going to be working there, and they're not going to be working from home, then you need to change that password when they leave. But we sometimes overlook it. It's also important to think about what that departing person had access to, because you often have multiple systems that people log into. And if you're not careful, you can change the password or close the account for the main system, but then they have this other system or you know, various parts. One of the problems that we have now is software as a service, where small businesses particularly are using online services to get their business done, which can be great. You know, things like Salesforce and Yammer and things like that, might be using Google Documents and so on. Software as a service is an account with a password. And you do want to be careful that if somebody leaves, they don't retain that kind of password, or they give them to you before they go. Because I've been in situations where there was only one person knew how to get into a particular account online, and they left and didn't leave the password behind. So make it part of the exit interview, make it part of the exit process to get that person's passwords for all the things they have permission to use, and then also change them once they've departed.
You know, one thing that I find about small businesses is this sort of stereotype, which turns out to be very true, is that there are a lot of people helping with the business. It could be family members, could be your cousin, it could be your teenage son who's helping with computers because he happens to be particularly good at them. You know, granted, these are your friends and family, but, you know, should the policies be different for them? Or, you know, is this a place where people get lax? And what have you seen in your career here when it comes to kind of your inner circle of folks who tend to help out with the business?
I think that it is an area of potential difficulty. I think that, as in all matters to do with business, have to be fairly clear in your mind about responsibilities and that you give to people and the trust that you put in them. And if you start to doubt that that trust is well-placed, then you want to limit people's access. And you want to avoid the situation where somebody uses their access to a system as a way to blackmail you, as a way to hold you hostage. And the classic example is someone who's doing the administration of the network and knows where everything is and has the passwords to everything, and then decides for whatever reason not to share that. You want to make sure you have a good relationship with that person and one in which there's some authority for you to make sure that they share all of the secrets of your network with you. After all, it's your network, and you should be in charge of it.
Well, Stephen, this is great stuff. If folks want more information on how to protect their small business, you should visit blog.eset.com, where Stephen and others have great information for you. Stephen, thanks for joining. We'll see you next time on the Malware Report. Take care.